Hello there, and welcome to Connections here on MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and of course with Bill Newell, as we will be checking out, I guess we kind of call this a North Shore News Magazine. We like to do this twice a week. Get your suggestions at msonewsports@gmail.com, but basically talk with North Shore News, newsmakers, some sports, entertainment, and I guess sort of all things North Shore. Today, we will be talking with a whole bunch of people about the New Hampshire primary, and we'll get to that in just a minute. So please stay with us. This is MSO News Sports, and this is Connections.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, CapeAnnSavings.bank.
Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester. Now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
All right, let's get this party started. We want to welcome in, as usual, on a Tuesday or Thursday morning, Bill Newell. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Rick.
I don't know. I'm talking with the mayor of Salem yesterday. She was kind of laughing about the debacle from Iowa, and I'm still not sure what happened out there. I'm actually looking at a website here saying that Bernie and Mayor Pete both have claimed victory, but I don't know. What's your take on all this, the transition from Iowa to New Hampshire? What are your thoughts?
Well, we know that New Hampshire will be a cleaner outcome for sure. It's not a caucus. There's no app involved here. It's just a regular primary election. They've done it for years and years and years, and actually they've actually counted some votes even before the polls closed. Dixville Notch closed. They do that midnight voting. In fact, I thought they were going to stop that, so I was surprised to see that story this morning. But Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, is the leader there, then followed by Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden are further down, but Michael Bloomberg got a few write-in votes. He's not on the ballot in New Hampshire, apparently, but they did get a few write-in votes there as well. But anyways, it's Amy Klobuchar, and some folks say she's the one to watch. She may have the third-place ticket out of New Hampshire, if that's a ticket at all. But recent polls have kind of coalesced behind Bernie Sanders winning. He won there 4 years ago, so it wouldn't be a surprise for him to win there again here in 2020. So we're watching that. And as far as guests coming up, Drew Russo, from Lynn, who you might remember was the head of the Lynn Museum, but also ran for state rep for that vacant seat left vacant by Brendan Crichton when he went over to the Senate. He lost that election, but he's been very active in Democratic Party politics. He's up in New Hampshire campaigning for Elizabeth Warren. He'll weigh in just a few moments with you, Rick. We also will talk with Mike Schultz, who is a longtime operative, has been involved with the presidential politics for a long, long time, as well as very local politics. Just a great guy who's battling some very serious health issues in Peabody, but just a terrific person. Mike Schultz will be joining us at the tail end of the program. Then you've got Mayor Driscoll from Salem, and we also have a Bernie Sanders supporter as well on the program. So yep. We've got a lot of folks joining the program here in the next hour or so. But, you know, the other thing, too, here, Rick, just to maybe put a final thought on the New Hampshire primary, is that there are a bunch of people that, so if Biden leaves the race and if Elizabeth Warren leaves the race, if she can't do well in New Hampshire, I would think it's just about over for her. A lot of her supporters apparently would then go to Bernie Sanders, and the same with Joe Biden's, which might be a surprise to some. Having said that, though, the big money guy, Michael Bloomberg's the big wild card in this thing moving forward and down the road to Super Tuesday. And, of course, Massachusetts votes on Super Tuesday, March 3rd. So that's all coming up so fast.
Yeah, it really is. And we will be talking with John Penaloza, who is a Bernie supporter. He describes himself as a super volunteer. He's a former candidate for Rockport Selectman in Rockport, also, I believe, is in the IT business. And so we'll talk with him about Bernie. And he, I believe, I'm not sure if he's up in New Hampshire or not, but he did go to Iowa before the Iowa caucuses. So did you say that Warren may be dropping out? Did I hear that?
No. I said if she were to drop out, many of her supporters, their second choice would be could be Bernie Sanders.
So is she is she not doing well? Is that the idea?
Well, no. Yeah, I mean she's. I mean if she finishes. I can't imagine if she finishes below third place that she can continue on after tonight. But I may be wrong on that. I know money's been an issue with her. I mean, she has money. But, I mean, unless she does well in New Hampshire, I think she's she's going to be in trouble. So that third place is an important one for Klobuchar. It's important for Warren and so on. If in fact you believe the polls and figure it's going to be Bernie and Buttigieg 1 and 2 in New Hampshire, I didn't say she's dropping out, but I'm saying she said Drew will be very upset at me for saying that. But if,
no, I know.
And I think she would. I think she might be, struggling to maintain a real posture within the primary process if she doesn't do well in New Hampshire. You have to do. If you're a senator from Massachusetts, you have to do well in New Hampshire. And when I say well, top three out of a field of, what are there, down to really about 8 candidates or so, you know, that isn't expecting too much from a neighboring senator. So
okay. So. All right. And, you mentioned Mayor Kim Driscoll of Salem. We will be talking with her. And interesting to note that she has given her endorsement to Joe Kennedy III in his bid to become a United States Senator, unseating the incumbent Edward Markey. And I don't know how that's going to play out in Democrat politics, but it was interesting to note that the mayor got behind Kennedy.
Yeah, there are a bunch of local politicians behind Joe Kennedy, but there are also a bunch behind Ed Markey as well. So I'm glad we'll talk about that briefly today because that's a big race that's under the radar screen, and it's going to come up fast. You know, here we are halfway through February, or almost halfway through February. It's a short month, by the way, with just 29 days this year. But it'll come up fast because this will be a primary. It's not November. This will have to be decided on a primary, which I assume that date is in September.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up.
Bill, one sports note. You covered quite a basketball game last night, and you've got a lot of information up on our website.
Yeah, congratulations to Haley Anderson of Beverly High. She's a 1,000-point scorer. Did that on Friday night, but they honored her last night. So we have some, and it was senior night there. So they had a nice, lot of nice visuals up there. You got to check that post out. They go great. The girls' basketball team at Beverly, they're at 10 wins. They've made the tournament. You know, they could have had a few more wins. They've had, they've lost twice to Marblehead now, but both by very close scores. And I got to give, Seth Stansel does a great job with Beverly, but Paul Moran has done a terrific job turning the Marblehead girls program around. They've got now, I think it's 17 wins, so that's a terrific year. They won the NEC title, one of the league titles, and I think it's the North title. But so they won the title last night with that win, and so congratulations to them. And we have a bunch of videos up on that. But that was a great story over there last night, and for the Beverly girls basketball team. And Beverly boys will have their biggest test of the year Wednesday night when they play host to Lynn English.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Appreciate all that, and we'll talk to you later on.
You got it.
Very good. That's Bill Newell. He is in Lynn, not in New Hampshire, but he's in Lynn right now. But he actually, I believe, his undergraduate degree was in political science, if I'm not mistaken. So he's the man to talk with here on MSO about this stuff. Coming up, we will be chatting with Drew Russo, who is the Lynn Personnel Director. He also is up in New Hampshire, I believe, and he is in support of Senator Warren, and so I will be talking with him in just a couple of minutes if all goes well. So stay with us. This is Connections here on MSONewsSports.com.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcast, the North Shore's podcast leader for both news and sports features, connecting you to the North Shore.
All right, we're back now. It's my great pleasure to bring on Drew Russo, who is the personnel director in the city of Lynn. But more importantly for today, he is working for Senator Warren up in Portsmouth. Is that right, Drew?
Yeah, no, I just got up to Portsmouth a little while ago, and have my Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee with the turbo shot, and as soon as you and I are done on the phone, I'm going out to hit the doors.
All righty. So this is going to be an interesting day, I think, all the way around. And I think the eyes of the Democrat, well, maybe the eyes of the nation, I don't know, but certainly for the Democratic Party here in this country, everybody's going to be looking east as opposed to what happened out west. And, Drew, I wonder if you might just give me a little summary as to how that thing has played out to this point out in Iowa. What is the fallout at this point? What do you take away? And just to be clear, you are working for Senator Warren.
Yeah, I'm volunteering for Senator Warren today. And honestly, you know, I've been volunteering for Senator Warren since 2012. You know, I was excited to work for her to become our senator. And that was a fight that a lot of people thought was uphill and, you know, and even as she was saying the other day, you know, unwinnable. Scott Brown at that time in 2011 had approval ratings that were quite high. You know, he was one of the most popular politicians, if not the most popular politician in the state. People thought that it was going to be very hard for a Democrat to win that election in 2012. But Elizabeth Warren really came in with a strong message that is really based on the work that she's done over the years, which is to really fight for an economy that works for everybody. And it's a message that resonated in Massachusetts at a time when I think a lot of people thought that Scott Brown was in a very good position to win re-election. She was able to win that election by 8 points. She's gone on to serve us well for the last 7 years now in the United States Senate, and I'm thrilled to be up here today working for her.
What is your day going to be like? And then we'll talk a little bit about what it is you'll be talking about, what she'll be talking about. But what's on your plate?
I'm going to be going door to door to make sure that people go out to vote and go out to vote for Elizabeth Warren. And, you know, I think people have noticed over the last week or so, you know, since the Iowa results, and obviously, you know, there's still a lot of confusion about what happened in Iowa. But Senator Warren came out of there with a strong third place finish. She defied the expectations of most polls in Iowa that I think projected her to finish a lot lower than she did, which was a strength in her ground game there. And I think you're going to see a similar thing play out in New Hampshire here today. I think Democrats are very excited in a lot of ways, but also apprehensive about the task ahead in order to be ready to take on Donald Trump. And New Hampshire is a state that has been famous for taking its time. And I've been up here for the last, you know, number of weeks coming up here, you know, at least, you know, once a weekend to talk to voters about the campaign. And the thing that I'm hearing is that there are a lot of people that like Elizabeth Warren, but they like these candidates, and they're waiting until the very end to make up their mind. And when you see polls that are showing, you know, 50% of people saying that, you know, they're still deciding based on the conversations I'm having with voters, that's still happening. And I think it's a reflection, one, of the quality of the candidates that we have, but also the fact that, you know, people really want to take their time because they want to get this decision right. I made my decision a long time ago, and that's that not only is Elizabeth Warren the best person to lead this country to fix the economy and to be a phenomenal president of the United States, but I truly believe that in this field of very accomplished candidates, she is the one that is best positioned to take on and defeat Donald Trump in November.
All right, you're coming to my house and you're saying that to me, and say I'm an anti-Trumper and I want to believe you. What can you tell me about Senator Warren's message that can offset perhaps the tremendous support that Trump seems to have across the country? Because it seems to me, you know, whoever gets in as the Democratic nominee will have the anti-Trump vote, not necessarily the pro-Democrat vote. And it seems to me that you would want to also, you know, maybe pick up some of those disenchanted Trump voters. So what separates Senator Warren from the others?
So I think one, Senator Warren has really been focusing on this anti-corruption message. You know, that we have to reduce the influence of money in politics, that we have to reduce the influences of lobbyists, that we have to really change at the very core how Washington operates. And by doing that, by rooting out the corruption, we'll be able to put policies in place that make the economy work for everybody. I mean, she talks about this all the time. She's got three brothers. One's a Democrat, two's a Republican, and so two are Republicans, and so they have a lot of good family discussions together. But at the end of the day, the thing that brings them together is seeing, you know, the corruption that does exist that we see today in Washington at the highest levels of our government. And it frustrates people because we want a political system that works for everybody, that gives everybody a shot at opportunity. That's not happening right now. And I think that she's the person that can take that message, that's a message that resonates across party lines, and really help carry us to victory in November.
Is there any discussion in your travels, Drew, you know, especially up in New Hampshire, about the character of the president and how the Democrats react to that?
I think that a lot of people are concerned about the character of the president. You know, I certainly am. And I think that people, you know, I think what we saw last week, you know, after the impeachment trial ended in Washington, D.C., how the president reacted to that, how he took retaliatory measures against Colonel Vindman and others, Ambassador Sondland and others. And I think that, you know, it is frustrating to people. And so I think that's definitely something that's on somebody's mind and something that has been on people's minds. But I also think that people want to make sure that we have the right message, that we are going in and we're talking to people about how we're going to make lives better, how we're going to make the economy work for them, how we're going to, you know, make sure that their kids have the kind of professional and educational and work opportunities that they want. And I think that Elizabeth Warren has spent the better part of her career, you know, working to advance law and policies that make people's lives better. She can tell the story of her own life, and she also tells the story of how we need to get America and the American economy back on track for everybody. And I think that that's the kind of message that's going to win this election for us in November.
Now, you're going to be knocking on doors in Portsmouth. Where is the senator today?
You know, I'm not really sure. I think she's probably all around the state. I think all the candidates are probably all around the state. You know, in the position that I'm in now, you know, I'm just happy to be up here as a, you know, as an activist and a volunteer. You know, I took the day off to be here today because I think it's that important. I think that the future of our country is at stake. I think that we're at the beginning of a process that is going to propel a Democratic nominee into November. I'm working hard, along with many other people, to ensure that Senator Warren is that nominee. But at the end of the day, I think that, you know, our alignment is all the same. We want to make sure that we are united and that we put up the best possible fight that we can to take on and defeat Donald Trump in November.
So how long will you be in Portsmouth? And then what are you going to come home and watch it on TV afterwards?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be here for as much of the day as I can, and sort of we'll take things as they go. But, you know, you got to sleep sometime. So. Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts iced coffees with the turbo shots only take you so far.
Well, I know, but thank goodness for that, right? Anything else you want to mention, Drew? Because this is exciting to have this so close and to have, you know, an actual, I hate the phrase boots on the ground, but you're in New Hampshire, you're working this thing, and it's going to be an exciting day.
No, it is an exciting day, and I think, listen, if there's anybody in the listenership that's in New Hampshire, you know, obviously I told you why I think Senator Warren's the best candidate, but it's important to get out there and vote today. They're expecting a strong voter turnout here. And if you're a voter in Massachusetts, 3 weeks from today, we're going to be going to the polls in our own primary And so, you know, our part of the process is just beginning, and at a time of great concern in our country, it's a time for all of us to sort of get off the saddle, as it were, and get involved and make sure that we're doing everything we can to preserve and make you know, our country what we want it to be. And I'm happy to be up here today doing my small part for that.
And I'm happy you connected with us, so that, and that Bill connected with you, Drew, and hope we can do this again, if not in in 3 weeks, then maybe before that.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks a lot. Good to talk to you. Right?
Thank you, Drew. Good luck. Have a great day.
All right, take care.
Take care. That is Drew Russo, who was the personal director in Lynn. Took the day off to go up and volunteer for Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren, up in New Hampshire. He's going to be in Portsmouth, and I guess right now he's starting to knock on doors up there. We'll see if John Penaloza is doing that up there as well, or if he's kind of orchestrating things from Rockport. He's our next guest. He's in IT in Rockport. We'll find out more, a little bit more about John, and then what his take is on this upcoming primary. So again, sort of talking politics today, and it ain't my strength, but it is the people I'm talking to, so I'm learning as we go along, and hope you are too. This is Connections here on MSO News Sports, and we will be talking to John Penaloza coming right up. So please stay with us. And this is also MSO News Sports. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcasts, the North Shore's podcast leader for both news and sports features, connecting you to the North Shore.
All right, we're back now, and my pleasure to talk with John Penaloza, who is an activist supporting Bernie Sanders. And John from the town of Rockport, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
we're doing well. And John, before we get started here, a little bit about yourself. You're in IT, and I understand you own your own business.
Yes, I do. I've owned my own business since 2004, and I serve clients all over the North Shore.
Okay. What's the name of it?
North Shore IT, as a matter of fact.
North Shore IT. Okay, because I never know when I might need someone here with our business. Okay. John, I just got through talking with Drew Russo. He is the personnel director from the city of Lynn, but he actually is up in Portsmouth right now, and he is campaigning for Senator Warren. I talked with Kim Driscoll, the mayor of Salem, yesterday. I'm learning about politics here as I go along. And she talked about supporting Joe Kennedy III in the upcoming race in November for the Senate. So there's so much going on. And we've got Bernie Sanders, who both Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are from states that sort of, you know, surround New Hampshire. So this could be quite a day, but what's your take, John? Josh was telling me that you describe yourself as a super volunteer, and maybe tell me a little bit about your experience out in Iowa before we get to today.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've had a lot of people that have, say, continued feeling the burn all the way since 2015, and we had a large group here on Cape Ann, Cape Ann for Bernie. And we made 100,000 calls for Bernie in the 2016 primary season. And a few of us actually headed out to Iowa last week, and we were volunteering for the entire week leading up to the Iowa caucus. And that culminated with me being a precinct captain for Bernie, you know, out in corn country. And it was a really interesting thing to see and take part of, and I was very honored to be there.
Yeah, I'm told there aren't that many great restaurants out there, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
You know, So what are the final results from Iowa, if they are final? I mean, how does that affect today's primary, if at all?
Well, you know what's really interesting, because we've been hearing for a long time about how Trump's election lacks legitimacy, right? Because he didn't get the popular vote, and that Hillary Clinton actually got 3 million more votes than he did in becoming president. And in Iowa, we have practically the same situation going on in terms of awarded delegates and in terms of the popular vote, because Bernie got 6,000 more votes than Pete Buttigieg.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to go with the popular vote as a means of determining your presidential preference, then Bernie should have been declared winner of Iowa. And a lot of us inside the campaign feel that he did. You know, if you were there on the ground and saw the energy and saw the outpouring of effort from people of all kinds of different backgrounds and age groups, it was really something incredible to see and experience.
One thing I have been aware of, basically because my daughter is a third-year student in, she's at Drexel University in Philadelphia, is the tremendous support that Senator Sanders is getting from young people. And to me, you got to explain that to me. I'm closer to Senator Sanders' age, of course, than I am a college age, and I'm surprised at the way these kids are reacting to his message. So why is he so popular among young people?
So, you know, the benefit that young people have is that they don't have the long memory or the long taint of, say, a label like socialism, right? If you didn't live through the McCarthy era, you didn't have that association with this being a bad word or a bad label in American politics, right? So the benefit in their eyes is just being able to listen to Bernie's positions and being able to see that he's stuck for 50 years in terms of issues that will help the average person, and that would actually come at the expense of a lot of the power structures in our country, right? That are the 1% that are paid for politics, and he's been more authentic than anybody on the American political scene, you know, for longer.
As a layperson, I don't understand, and I see it on social media a lot, the ranting about Bernie and socialism, because socialist programs in our country, from what I can see, are a necessary, beautiful part of the republic, of being who we are. We're able to take care of older people. We're able to take care of those in the most dire need. But the socialism that is talked about and ranted about from the far right really elicits communist socialism, and it's just not the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of a concentrated campaign of disinformation and misinformation that Trump has really honed to an art form, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that is running rampant through social media. That is washing over everybody who watches just one channel at home.
yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, that's a current we have to deal with. But the only way to deal with that is to kind of have a come to Jesus moment and think about, look, what's good for all of us, right? Not just the 1%, not just for established political classes or elites. What's good for everybody? And if everybody can get behind that policy, that platform, then it's just a matter of the person who's best suited to implement it.
One thing I've heard from people, whether they are Bernie supporters or not, is they, to a person that I've talked with, are impressed by the way he has said things and stood by those things over the years. He hasn't changed. He hasn't flip-flopped. He doesn't apologize in terms of wanting what his opinion is what's best for people. And how do you see today turning out, John? Because, you know, this is a horse race. Obviously, it's a very important day. And how does Bernie separate himself from, or how do you tell people when you're volunteering that Bernie is different from the others?
You know, it's funny. I think many other political candidates in history have had the misfortune of maybe being ahead of their time in some of their policies. You know, a big example is like Carter in the 1970s, right?
Mm-hmm.
He might have been well ahead of his time in terms of energy efficiency and all the rest of it, and so things caught up to him, events caught up to him. But in terms of Bernie, it's the other way around. he's been out front with clear policies that benefit most of the world, and definitely the United States, and most working class people, and the rest of us in history is finally catching up to him. And I think we're going to see an overlapping of those two trajectories today. And I think we're going to do really well in the New Hampshire primaries. I'm cautiously optimistic about an outright win in huge terms.
Well, we're going to find out here in a few hours. John, anything else you'd like to mention? And I do appreciate your taking the time, but what else would you like to get out there about, the campaign?
We have a dedicated corps of mass volunteers, like I told you, and for us, it's been one straight-out effort here, and as soon as the polls close tonight and we have a chance to register what's happened, we're going to turn our attention to Massachusetts. We have the Bernie headquarters opening that's happening on Dudley Street in Boston this week. So everybody who wants to come out and join this revolution, please come out, form part of our core and help us transform this country.
All right. We'll follow up with you, John, if that's okay with you, with regard to the Massachusetts primary.
Absolutely.
Sounds great. Well, have a great day, John, and thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care. That is John Penaloza, who was an IT specialist, owns his own business, North Shore IT in Rockport, and he is a super volunteer for Senator Bernie Sanders. All right, next up, we'll check in with Mike Schultz and Bill Noel. Actually, let me just see here how much time we have. Yeah, we'll go to Kim Driscoll first, and then we'll turn it over to Bill Newell and Mike Schultz. So this is Connections here on MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. Our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky, and, of course, Bill Newell, and he'll be by in just a few minutes here with Mike Schultz. Stay tuned, stay with us, and all that good stuff. It is primary day up in New Hampshire, and I guess the polls begin closing up there at about 7 p.m., and results are expected to start going in around 8 p.m., so everybody will be everybody who's interested in that will be watching your basic news channel for that coming up this evening.
Treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Looking to score big on your savings this season? Open a CD savings or money market account at Institution for Savings. This is the perfect time to earn funds for your future, and our rates are among the best. Stop by one of our offices in Amesbury, Beverly, Boxford, Gloucester, Hamilton, Ipswich, Middleton, Newburyport, Rockport, Rowley, Salem, Salisbury, and Topsfield. Or visit us online at institutionforsavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF. North Shore Today is MSO News Sports' daily local news podcast with news from all around the North Shore. The Post also shares a note on the weather, local photos, notices, and our video of the day. Check it out daily, North Shore Today.
All right, this is take two with Sylmaire Kim Driscoll. I apologize for that, having screwed up the first one. But, Madam Mayor, let's just get right to the chase. Superintendent search is in its stretch run now.
Yeah, we're excited about the candidates that we have that are interested in this position. We've got four finalists after a screening committee spent some time interviewing just about nine candidates and narrowed it down to four. So the next role is for the school committee to interview folks and hopefully come to a decision at the end of this week.
In my experience as an educator, we had a lot of superintendents come in from the outside, and they actually stated and were hired, well, this is my last job, I've come here to retire. I don't get that feeling from Salem. So maybe a quick thumbnail of your finalists?
Sure. you know, I just would start out to say our community profile that we spent some time kind of understanding what are the key skill sets we think in the next superintendent talked about one being a strong communicator really being important. And I think another component was really wanting somebody who would stay, who would grow the people who were here, bringing some sustainability to our efforts. We've had a lot of transitions, a lot of staff turnover, and it never is really helpful when you're constantly, you know, bringing in new leadership. So we're excited about this, not necessarily being someone who's going to retire here, but certainly somebody who wants to build a model so that when they leave, things don't fall apart, right? We want someone who brings out those foundational skills. So we've got four candidates. Dr. Lorenzo Garcia currently works in the Revere Public School System. He was the high school principal who was responsible for their successful turnaround there. Revere is known as one of the best urban high schools in the country. He's now working in central office doing a lot of data and accountability work, and you know, brought, I think, local experience and Gateway City experience. Ben Lummis. Ben is the current interim superintendent in Brookline. He's been part of their senior leadership team for the last 5 to 7 years. He was also a teacher, an educational consultant. He's got a really varied background. Dr. Stephen Shrike, he is the current superintendent/receiver in Holyoke for Holyoke Public Schools. He was brought in 5 years ago to help address some of the needs of their school system. DESE actually appointed a receiver, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Ed, because they were concerned about their performance in Holyoke. And by all accounts, he's helped transition the school district to one that is much higher functioning, increased graduation rates, built a strong early ed program, increased their dual language program, definitely brings a strong base of experience to a city like ours. And finally, Erin McMahon. Erin has a varied background. She's worked in Denver Public Schools. She's been a network superintendent there. Has worked in New York City. Certainly been a teacher as well. All of these folks have been teachers in their careers at one point or another. She's currently working for KIPP, a charter school network at the national level, doing their academic achievement efforts. And they were all, like I said, pretty impressive group. The pool was pretty impressive. So narrowing it down to four folks who want to be here, are excited about the opportunity to help us, is pretty exciting.
It sounds exciting. It sounds like tremendous, tremendously qualified candidates. Let's shift gears a little bit now and talk a little bit about where the city budget is, and maybe referencing the schools, because there's supposed to be money coming down from the state to in a different way.
Yeah, we're just getting started. Department heads are getting started preparing their budgets. We'll spend the next 2 months, 6 to 8 weeks, really honing in on what the needs are, where we think we want to make any additional investments to better serve the needs of the community. The process for us is very much dependent upon what we're going to be seeing in state resources, which at present, you know, we're a little concerned. The new ed dollars, the school sweepstakes funding that's helped a lot of Gateway cities, so far for us is looking like a very small increase. Right now we're at $136,000, which isn't going to buy us a lot of, even pay for some of the existing expenses, let alone some of the newer things we're hoping to invest in. So we're going to work through that. We've got two more shots and bites at the apple with the budget through the House and the Senate. We're working with our legislative leaders to hopefully increase that some.
Okay. I've asked you this before, and it's a continuing question about public housing and about affordable housing in the city as cities and towns continue to transition, struggle with infrastructure and everything else. So what's the status of that?
Yeah, it's the number one issue we're really facing as a community is the affordability of housing. As Greater Boston's just become such a desirable place to live, we've seen the rents in Salem increase dramatically, housing prices as well. But rents are the things that impact people who live here, who work in our service industry, or those who want to stay here, have been here a long time, haven't bought, and now are seeing rents rising much quicker than their incomes are rising. We've been looking at a number of policies. Last year we attempted to pass an accessory dwelling unit, or an ADU, essentially allowing in-laws to be created in homes. It wasn't successful. We're hoping to resubmit that, along with an inclusionary housing ordinance, trying to find some policy considerations that will help build affordable housing as housing growth in Salem happens. In addition, we're looking to leverage public land. So where we have public assets, to think about lowering the cost of constructing housing by making the cost of land acquisition much more affordable. It is, by far one of the toughest challenges that communities are facing, especially for a place like Salem that has long had a mix of different people, different income levels, different cultures. When you become a high-priced area, that changes, and we don't want to change the character of Salem. We like the fact that we've got a hip, historic mix of people. It's in danger if we don't really address this housing issue head-on.
And do the what's the relationship? I think I've asked you this before, but the relationship between Salem City government and the state government in terms of the local representatives, the local state representative, the local state senator?
Oh, I think we've got excellent representation in Paul Tucker and Joan Lovely, both of whom were either local officials or elected officials or appointed official, former police chief, Joan, a former city councilor. And they've been fabulous to work with. I think they really recognize the importance of this issue in Salem. Joan represents other communities on the North Shore as well. Diagnosing the problem isn't the hard part. You know, it's curing the illness that is really, really tricky because there's only so much you can do as a government entity, right? We need private sector and public sector to come together and help build the sort of housing we need in our community at a time when people, you know, don't always want additional housing happening. You understand mm-hmm. some of those fears and trepidation, but we also know that if we don't build new housing, we're never going to get out of this affordable housing crunch that we're in.
Well, I want to pull back a little bit now and look at a larger geographic area, if I can. There are two things that are on my mind, and I guess we'll start with the local then and go from there. You were at an event featuring Joe Kennedy for the Senate. Would you like to tell me about that?
Yeah, sure. I've been at several events. He's been in Salem a number of times. He was in PBD last month, and over the weekend he was in Middleton. He's been, you know, running around the Commonwealth trying to talk about why he's interested in being a United States Senator, what skills he'll bring to it. I think he's a terrific candidate who recognizes the needs at the local level. He's not somebody who just swoops into town and wants to talk politics. He's really here to understand particularly our most vulnerable, you know, community members, like what are the needs. We've been in our health center. We've been in at LifeBridge. We talk about education and early ed. Sort of changes that are necessary to meet the demands of a diverse city. And at the same time, I think he brings the heft of understanding, like, systemic changes that are necessary in Washington. So I'm hopeful.
One thing I noticed with Senator Kennedy, Senator Edward Kennedy, over the years, whether you like him or don't like him, whatever his history was and so on, is that whenever he came to Gloucester in particular is where I would see him, he remembered people by their first names. And as you said, he was aware of the local issues. I haven't seen that with our current senators. I was going to say as much, but I really haven't seen it as all. And it sounds to me like you have that little bit of a connection anywhere with this candidate.
I think it's very true, and that's probably a good analogy. I mean, not just because he's a family member, but the ability to understand what's happening locally and then to connect that to what we need to do in Washington to help. That skill doesn't exist everywhere, and I want more. Like, I want more out of a United States Senator. We are not going to be the strongest city we can be, the smartest city we can be, the safest city we can be without having a strong federal partner and having people who recognize that, want to know the issues, and then know how to make that systemic change and influence others to do so as well.
Well, that would require some working together, but we'll leave that for another day. Now, obviously, Tuesday, we're taping this, we're recording this on Monday, and, you know, Tuesday is the New Hampshire primary. After, maybe your comments on the debacle, first of all, from Iowa.
Holy cocoa, right? Unbelievable. And, you know, it makes Democrats look like the gang that can't shoot straight. You know, that's definitely what you don't want to have happening. I don't know, obviously, all the details of what happened in Iowa. But it does really make you question, is this, you know, the kind of the best approach to selecting a candidate when things like that happen? I do appreciate the difference between New Hampshire, where you actually have – it's a primary, right? Just the way it would be in Massachusetts and a number of other states. It's not run by a party. It's run by local elected officials. And at least that's a normal – there are regs, there are rules, there are laws, and it's a normal way of doing business. And hopefully, you know, something like that can be considered down the line in Iowa and other places.
For, I was going to say Gloucester, but for Massachusetts public officials who lean toward the Democrats or are Democrats, what is the view? What do you look at from the New Hampshire primary in terms of either outcome or who's saying what?
Yeah, I think it's such a strange year. It's hard to know what the impacts are going to be. Who would have thought what happened in Iowa would have happened, right? Normally somebody gets a bump out of that. It's momentum to go to the next place. Or you win Iowa and you end up, you know, somehow on the cutting room floor in New Hampshire, right? And so I think it's one of those years where we're seeing, you know, three or four candidates that are viable, you know, in the mix and seem to have good organizations, well-funded. And then you've got candidates who've skipped Iowa and New Hampshire pretty much altogether, but have resources or name recognition and are still on the hunt. So it's a really interesting and unique year.
Finally, Madam Mayor, I don't quite know how to phrase the question, but on a local level, on a personal level, people sometimes will not talk about national politics because, if I'm on the left, I have a friend on the right, we sort of don't want to end up slapping each other. How does that work with public officials when you get together for these meetings? Is it sort of hands-off for national politics?
I mean, when we're in a government setting, we're probably talking about whatever the issue is beforehand. Right. But if there's socializing or kibitzing going on, I think there's a lot of real conversations and some good-natured jabbing and opportunities to recognize that no one has all the answers, right? And there are things that you're able to talk about with candor when you're talking to colleagues that I think we all respect each other for the ability to do that.
Well, may that catch on and go somewhere else.
Right? It's at the heart of the problem.
Exactly. Thank you, Madam Mayor. That's Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. We continue along. We are joined by Mike Schultz, former Democratic city chairman. And Mike, good to be seeing you. Good to be talking with you again.
Same here, Bill. It's an exciting time for us Democratic operatives and stuff like that. But unfortunately, I'm cancer-ridden right now, and I'm laid up in it, but I've been following it completely from top to bottom. And all the whole 20-some-odd people, and it's quite a field. You know, I've been involved in these things, these caucuses and stuff like that. I remember going out for Gary Hart in 84, and then when I went out with my friend John Kerry, and I actually worked a couple of the caucuses, and at that time they were very, very well run. This thing here, I can't blame, you know, put a lot of blame on the thing any more than I could put any blame for the way the Democratic Party has been involved in this election. You know, it's people that don't really know as much as they think they know, and have all these wacky ideas. A perfect example is I've been trying to get a message to someone through the Biden campaign. Did you know I call the Biden? You can't find a telephone number for the Biden campaign or anybody else's campaign either, because they decided they will not put in they'll just put in the address. They won't put in the Biden campaign phone number. So I tried 411. 411 no longer exists. You can't get a phone number now. That shocked me, and that should be illegal. And so then I said, okay, well, I'll call the state committee. So I called the state committee to get the number of one of their candidates so that I could talk to them. We can't do that. I said, why? What do you mean you can't do that? We can't look biased. I said, Well, how are you looking biased by giving out a phone number for somebody's headquarters? He said, well, that's our decision. I said, so if I'm a volunteer and I can't get Joe Biden's phone number, okay, for any headquarters or any phone number where I could reach somebody, that I can't volunteer, I can't send money, I can't do anything with Joe Biden or the others. Now, I did find an Elizabeth Warren number because it's Massachusetts. I don't know if it's even any good. And so, you know, the stupidity they're doing, I mean, and all this stuff with changing the way things are done, like the app, okay, that it's filed up. You know, if you have the backup, which they do, okay, because someone wisely kept everything but the app. The app was just a way to report things, okay? We could have done it other ways. You'd have, you know, a vote since had them a lot earlier. And then they found out some of the things. Well, we've had plenty of items before that have been miscalculated. But I don't blame. And then the big battle is to who had the top, you know, delegate thing, okay? So to me, the top delegate thing is by one delegate, you know, with Pete Buttigieg, who is someone I also liked. I also like Bernie. I also like Biden. But these are just some of my observances with it. And those two, wisely, Buttigieg just left and went on to, you know, and Bernie then left. And then others are sticking around, you know, trying to say, oh, this is bad or that's bad. And then the National Democratic Party, which has fouled up the last two elections, they decide to get in it, and they want to have a recount. I just say, okay, please, news media, go away. You know, stop covering these idiots. But that's what it is. And now I'm down to, I was originally four people, okay? I was Biden. I was Buttigieg. I was Buttigieg very, very early. People was early him. And then it was Biden, Bernie. So Warren I wanted to give because she's a good senator, you know. And the thing of it is she kept saying no, 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 she would not run. She would not run. Just, you know, no, no, no. That's ridiculous. No, 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 no. Then, you know, shortly after that, she's running. So I say, okay, well, she's got to get it out of her system. These people that, you know, Hillary people are coming out and saying, we want you to run because we need a woman in the White House. So then we go with all the activists that are at the State Committee and other places. They started pushing Kamala Harris. So they walked away from her, you know. And then it was Amy Klobuchar, okay, which is their last one that's still they didn't like Tulsi, and they didn't like, there was one other one, another woman. So as soon as these people realize that it's not about electing a woman, I don't care if she's a woman, I don't care if she's a giraffe, as long as she can do the job, okay? Now, Elizabeth can do the job on one side, okay? Then that's the consumer side, et cetera, the, you know, worker side, that type of thing. The other side, though, is where we have the great magician there, Donald Trump, who is going to call Bernie a socialist, and I'm going to call him a communist, okay? So who's the people he sucks up to? All the communists, okay? It's North Korea, which he's got handled. They're all set, you know, the great war hero. And then he's got, he's smarter than all the generals. I want somebody to put up the Mitch McConnell speech right after Barack Obama got elected. And no one has done that. And that's due to the party. The party has no idea what they're doing. When Mitch McConnell said after Obama got elected, he will go nowhere, we will do nothing, he will be blocked at everything, okay? Just look it up. It's there, okay? And all the different things he fought. Now Trump is coming out and saying, the health care, don't worry about it. We're going to give you bigger, better health care, and it's going to cost you way less. Well, what happened to that? He's taking away the pre-existing conditions, okay, even though he's in suit now with somebody over that, so they can take it away. They're taking away all these things, destroying Obamacare. What all it really needed to do was fixing. It had some things to be fixed. And they're coming up with, they're eliminating health care. He's starting, you know, wars without consent of Congress, without advice from the security, without the help of his generals, because he's smarter than all of them. You know, here, let me give you back, Bill, while I wind down and take a breath.
We're talking with Mike Schultz. Mike, I got one other question for you here. Looking at, as a political operative, you know, in the past, you have to, to get the nomination, you have to win Iowa or New Hampshire. Iowa's actually been more predictive, apparently, in the last four elections than New Hampshire. Having said that, though, Bill Clinton didn't win either one of those and picked up the nomination. So we don't, I have a feeling that this year could be one of those kinds of years, but we don't know. But, you know, if it's a tie in Iowa, then it's Buttigieg and Sanders as the winners. If you go to New Hampshire, Bernie's favored. But, you know, I also hearken back to, I don't want to throw this and make this too cloudy on you, Mike, but remember back when Mike Dukakis ran for president from Massachusetts, or even John Kerry, it felt like the whole state, the whole Democratic operation was behind him. I don't sense that this time around so much. You know, like you said, yeah, there's people for Biden and there's people looking for, there's Bernie people, there's other people. It's kind of fragmented. But having said that, though, I guess, so what's the, who's going to get the tickets moving forward out of New Hampshire on Tuesday, on Election Day?
Well, for one thing, I don't think anybody's going to come out with a huge surge. I expect Bernie to take it. I think, surprisingly, Biden's going to come up, okay? He's got some very, very good people working up there. And I think Elizabeth Warren's going to go down, okay? Klobuchar's going to come up, okay? Now, these are off-the-wall picks. Okay, that you haven't seen in the media, because the media is relying on the polls, and the polls have been so wrong for so long, it's ridiculous. You know, remember starting in 2004, and it's partly because of all this telephone invasion that we've got to get a law on. People won't answer the phone, you know. Because these people are disobeying the law, and nobody does anything about it. And they're not going to get real polls because people won't answer the phone. You know, I think last I saw, they've been able to get 16%, you know, of a state in it on polls. And those, so it's part of that problem, you know, they either got to ID themselves in the caller ID instead of spam or, you know, or a telephone number, or it's, and it's same thing with making making the calls. You know, they're all wrapped up in this thing. And this started to go away about phone calls. And the politicians will tell you in this state that, oh, phone calls are still important. They're still important. Well, you know, when I was out in Iowa making phone calls and stuff like that, they're behind us, you know, on that stuff. They were starting to get really, you know, I had people tell me, you call again and I will not vote for your candidate. Okay, that, you know, canvassing works, okay? Mailings work somewhat, you know, but not phone calls, but they'll tell you different. Especially my buddy Drew. So I just want to say hi, Drew. You know, the best one, you get an example, is visibility and stuff like that, is Agnes Ricco and Lynn. Nobody is better at campaigning than Agnes Ricco in the Lynn Democratic City Committee. I go to their meetings, you know, just so I can stay informed, because we don't have one anymore. Our Democratic City Committee didn't get filed, but there was nobody that was coming anyways. But anyways, this thing with the not carrying New Hampshire, well, you get Biden, who's supported by Kerry and who was the former Republican senator up there? The other two former Republican senators, Gordon Humphrey, I think it is, and no,
the woman's a Democrat.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah,
so they get two former U.S. senators supporting Biden. Okay, they've got Kerry coming up. You get our Congressman Seth Moulton,
a Biden guy,
and there's several others. I haven't been able to keep up with who's supporting outside, but just the ones I pick up. And those are good campaigners. You know, Kerry, bear in mind, came within 100,000 votes of being president, okay? And it's only because of nutbags out in Ohio who vote for a single religious issue was telling that he was in favor of gay marriage. And that's why if he got in, he would make it. Well, he wasn't in favor of gay marriage then. He is now, but he wasn't then. He was in favor of civil unions. So it was that type of action that cost him the thing. And every poll had him way ahead for winning. But it went back to George W.
Peabody's Mike Schultz with us here on Connections, a real treasure for the city of Peabody. And we wish him the very best for him and his health issues in the days and weeks ahead. But it's always great catching up with Mike Schultz here on Connections.
Well, thank you very much, Bill and Mike. Appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who was a part of our program today, including Drew, who was the personnel director in the city of Lynn, super volunteer for Bernie, John Penaloza of North Shore IT, and, of course, to Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. We thank you so much for helping us out here on MSO. Please email us at msonewsports@gmail.com with your suggestions, comments, complaints, whatever it might be. Let us know, msonewsports@gmail.com. Connections will be back on Thursday, and we will have plenty of sports action as well, news reports, and all kinds of great stuff here on the website, so please check it out. So on behalf of our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and, of course, our man, Bill Newell, who's our director and super everything, I'm Rick Moore. Have a great day.